is right and speaks truth in his heart. H is for heartfelt. Heartfelt is defined as sincerely and deeply felt. For those in need, we've seen your heart melt. You worship the Lord with your whole heart and soul. Your example of heartfelt praise should be our goal. In you, sympathy and empathy run deep and free. The good in others you always can see. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together.
A is for altruistic. To be altruistic is to have selfless concern for the well-being of others. You've always shown deep concern for your sisters and brothers. We thank you for always showing you care, and we know that in hardships you will always be there. It's deep in your nature to do good to all people, not just the ones beneath our own steeple. Proverbs 19:17. One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed.
N is for noble. Noble can be defined as having high moral qualities. The way that you live is sure to God please. As children, we need to need an example to follow. Your life is full of good things and not hollow. You've led by example on how to live right and how to live the good life and fight the good fight. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, passion, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Self-control. Against such things there is no law.
K is for knowledgeable. Knowledgeable is defined as having or showing intelligence. Your knowledge of passion for the Scripture is intense. The way you know Scripture is English and Greek. Help us to learn in a way that is truly unique. Thank you for teaching us from God's holy word and for the words of wisdom we have all heard. Proverbs 2:9-11. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, very good path. Every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding.
Y is for youthful. Youth means relating or having characteristics of the young. And we know that with us kids that you'll have a lot of fun. Your energy at Awana's as you encourage and cheer, leaving all the kids smiling from ear to ear. You show us joy that just overflows, and your desire to impact our lives really shows. Romans 12:11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord.
O is for obedient. Godly obedience is to hear, trust, submit, and surrender to God. To his call and guidance, you always give nod. Your obedience to God is without doubt. You've shown us how to follow his plans and route. Your devotion to Scripture and listening for his plan is an excellent example for each child, woman, and man. Deuteronomy 28:1 says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, and that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." U is for unwavering. Unwavering is to be constant, firm, and steadfast. You have a strong faith and will always last. You have always stood firm in what you believe, even during times that have caused you to grieve. Thank you that your Christ-filled life shows the way, and you are an example of how we should live every day. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." And Philippians 4:8-9 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you."
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection, King James Version, with the bowels of Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ Jesus, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Let the good news of your saving work break loose among us today. In Jesus' name we pray. My mom died, I think it's about 3 years ago, at the age of 93. And we all have the stories from our parents about how they trudged through the snow 10 miles and to get to school. And well, one of the things that was really true about my mom is that she memorized a lot in junior high and high school. And one of the poems that she memorized is the poem called Trees. Maybe you've heard of that poem before. It was written by a man named Alfred Joyce Kilmer. And Mr. Kilmer was born in 1886 and he died in 1918 serving our nation in the First World War. He got hit by a sniper and he died for our nation. But he had one of the most beautiful and simple ways of saying such profound things, like, I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom the snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make it true. Simple, beautiful, powerful, profound. The poem Trees. The Bible often pictures our relationship to God and the relationship in the church of Jesus Christ, and uses the metaphor of trees. You know, Psalm 1. The happinesses of the man who doesn't hang around with the wrong crowd, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And the text says, he is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. A tree. We also know, for example, Psalm 92, which is an encouragement for us with gray hair. It says that the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. I noticed this morning, too, from Ezekiel 17, that the prophet Ezekiel speaks of a profound scaling back of this tree of the new community, and all that you have left is the root out of Jesse, and out of this will grow a great cedar where the birds of the heaven of all the nations will rest, find shade and protection in that tree. So also Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, 31 through 32 talks about the mustard seed that is the tiniest little seed, and yet it grows into such a huge plant. And then he says, though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Jesus is speaking about his kingdom community. And though its beginnings seem awfully small and insignificant, they'll one day erupt into a tree that the birds of the nations will find rescue and refuge in the arms of its massive branches. Jesus affirms that the church of Jesus Christ, no matter what the difficulties, the church of Jesus Christ will flourish. Psalm 192, put Matthew 13 in together with that. The beautiful thing is that you can come to fulfillment and flourish yourself in the branches of Jesus' church, his kingdom community. Now, I think Philippians 1 tells us a number of things. It says, speaks, first of all, a word about healthy church growth. Much like a flourishing palm or mustard tree, Paul speaks of the church in Philippians 1, and I'm looking at verse 6. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work among y'all will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. See, we don't have in Iowa the language that really captures the plural form of second person plural of the Greek humin, of you. Yeah, you got to move south. Y'all. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work among you all will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We're used to thinking about that in terms of our personal transformation, sanctification. He begins the good work, he ends it. But probably Paul is speaking about the sanctification of the church. He's speaking clearly, he talks about overseers, elders, and deacons in verse 2. He's addressing the church, and all the pronouns in this section are not singular you. They are second person plural you, y'all. So he's talking about the church. So he's saying, in terms of the church, what God starts, God finishes. Now, if you know anything about trees, you cut down an ancient tree and you can see the circles of growth. And you can tell whether it was a really flourishing year or a year that the tree survived. Likewise, a local church, a congregation can grow in multiple ways. You ought not to think of church growth exclusively of growth in numbers, though it includes that. You can grow in wisdom, in spiritual depths, and maturity, hanging in there through hard times. Growth in holiness, in organizational complexity, and relational intelligence. So listen, my brothers and sisters. This past year or so, may have been a very tough time for our congregation. It may be a rough patch. But let me tell you that the best days of this congregation are ahead. God is not finished with you yet. Between now and Christ's return, between our start and finish, expect Christ's church to flourish here on earth. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul says something very profound. He pastored the church in Corinth. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but Christ gave the increase. It is an idolatry of a pastor to think that growth can only come under the leadership of one pastor. A pastor has his seasons. And in Corinth, the people were saying, oh, yeah, I follow Apollos, I follow Paul, and others, we follow Christ. And Paul says, what are they? They're just people. I planted. Apollos watered. Christ gave the increase. To everything there is a season. And it's very appropriate for a pastor to know when his season begins and his season ends. Painful though it may be. God grew the church in Philippi. It began in 50 A.D., number of converts. We had the unmarried businesswoman, Lydia, who opened her home to Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. We had the slave girl that was liberated from a demon. And we had the great Philippian jailer whose whole household was baptized by Paul. Now, after 11 years, 61 A.D., Paul is in Rome and he's writing. His life is on the edge. He may have his head severed from his body, and he writes these cheerful notes to his friends in Philippi. Some say that this is Paul's most cheerful letter, because 16 times a form of the Greek word for joy is used. It is filled with joy, even and especially in difficult times. And so Paul here can't keep his kingdom cheer within. The once fledgling tree has grown and matured and is now flourishing. This past August, I attended the Willow Creek Conference on Leadership at Lutheran Church of Hope. And I was especially eager to hear Dr. Henry Cloud, who is a theologian and a therapist, and a business consultant. Amazing trilogy of professional expertise. And he wrote a book called Boundaries for Leaders. But he was expounding something that was utterly amazing to me, because at that moment in my journey, I was in a funk. I was depressed. And he said that not just people individually, but congregations as a whole can get in a funk. We can get depressed. And we can develop a thing that the psychiatrist Martin Seligman called learned helplessness. And learned helplessness is when you think your problems are permanent, the three P's, that they're permanent, that they're personal, and that they're pervasive. And he talked about how during 2008, our economy in the United States tanked. Brokerage after brokerage went under. And he went to these brokerages to try to help the leaders there. And they were all in a funk because there's no way that we can make it. And they were afflicted with this learned helplessness. He had to show them how their things were not over for them. There was a future for them. But they were in this funk. They felt there was no hope. And he said that it just goes passive and shuts down when you have no hope. Initiation stops. Creative thinking stops. The search for solutions stops. Problem solving stops. Trying new options stops. It's game over, or at least on a pause. And once he got them meeting together, cheering them on, leading them, they began to enjoy and find a new enthusiasm. Here's the good news. Especially for churches, though at times they may feel they're in a total meltdown, let me tell you, if that organism, if that church feels like it's in a total meltdown, you need to hear a charge from the CEO of this company. His name is Jesus Christ, and he has promised, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. You need to feel the Apostle Paul's words in your bones. I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work here at Crossroads will continue, will carry it on to completion and to the day of Christ Jesus. So he has a word here, powerful word about flourishing, healthy church growth. Paul now moves to speak a word of deep appreciation. He says, verse 3 and 4, I thank my God every time I remember you. So Paul was lifted by the support that the Philippians of Macedonia, that the Philippians gave while Paul was in Macedonia. He says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership. That's a coin word, koinonia, that refers to most probably economic giving. Because of your koinonia in the gospel from the first day until now. You read the last chapter of Philippians 4, and you find out the Philippians were fueling the movement of God through Paul, through their economic gifts. He says, yet it was good of you to share my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving or receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Millard Fuller, you guys know how Habitat of Humanity began? It began by a man who lived a lot of his life on the farm. His name was Millard Fuller. And he said that money is like manure. If you just pile it in one place, it stinks to high heaven. But spread it around, you can do a lot of good. Now, when I preached about that in my last congregation, there was a deacon in the church, kind of a wonderful wise guy. And he sent me this offering envelope. You got a picture of that there? With some virtual manure. Ken B, he's called it a Ken B special. I saved that. Of course, it's virtual, of course. Paul is saying similarly here that the Philippians had caught the vision for generosity. They had spread the manure around in the church of Jesus Christ like a tree through the ministry of Paul, and others began to more and more flourish. Now there are churches also in the Christian Reformed Church that look forward to their pastor leaving, because that's when they can make up their shortfall economically.
bad theology, bad thinking. This is an opportunity for this church to advance, to risk for the kingdom of God. The German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said about the church takes up space on earth. The church doesn't float up in the clouds somewhere, it takes up space. There are salaries, there are office supplies, there are utilities, there's snow removal, there's carpets that get frayed and coffee spills on them. Furniture in the youth room gets dated. Expanded ministries run out of room. Paint fades. It costs to run a solid ministry. And don't cut back on your giving to Crossroads. I thank God for your generosity in my life. You've sustained my wife and I for the past 8 years. Many of you have given very sacrificially, not only to us, but to this church ministry for a long, long time. Thank you. Never think that your investments in the kingdom will result in personal setbacks, because you can't outgive God. Paul encourages the generosity in Philippi by saying, "Now my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." That's the koinonia. That's the giving, the sharing that the Philippians did in Paul's life. Next, there is a word of deep affection. Paul was in Rome. The saints in Philippi were hundreds of miles away, and yet there were invisible fibers, invisible threads of love and affection that bound Paul to that Philippian congregation. Listen to verses 7 and 8. "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." How many of you work in the medical field? Anyone here? Few of you? You know what splenology is? It's dealing with the visceral region. And it comes from the Greek. And so when the King James Version translates this, "the bowels of mercy," Paul is talking about there was such a feeling between him and the congregation that he felt it in his gut. When you love someone deeply, you feel it there. Paul says that his solar plexus hurts with the affection of Christ Jesus. His heart throbs with the pulse beat of Christ's heart for his people. And so does my wife, Winnie, and myself. We feel we have a heartache love for all of you. And that's why it's not easy for me. Here's a message to all of you who are leaders in this flock, to elders and deacons. How do you get this achy-breaky love in your heart? Well, you get it by serving. You love people, warts and all. You listen to them when their hearts are breaking. You pray with them when they've just lost their husband. You weep with them when their dad has died. You celebrate with them when God gives them a new baby. And you pray with them when they can't get. You go to their graduation events. You tear up when their sons and daughters stand up here on a Sunday morning and say, "I believe in Jesus Christ." You stand with them at the wedding altar. I don't know who said this, but 90% of success in life is just showing up. Eugene Peterson had on his desk two word phrases that counseled him when he counseled others. Two things. show up and shut up. Because your main ministry to those who are going through pain is just listen. Empathize. Enter into other people's pain without getting swallowed up by it. And those invisible threads of affection will bind you together with those in this flock. And finally, Paul has here a prayer for deeper love. He says, and this is my prayer, verses 9 through 11, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Paul prays that the Philippians, sometimes caught up in their ego games, could learn to love one another with tact, with diplomacy, with self-effacing compassion. Paul wants that kind of deep love to abound, to flourish more and more. The book of Philippians, you see, is all about robust joy. How in Christ human life can flourish. How the blessings of God can spill over in your life and you can know a joy unspeakable and full of glory. In fact, that's what John Calvin in his Geneva Catechism and the Westminster Shorter Catechism say. But what is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God. It's the reason for our life. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's the end. That's the goal. A robust joy, a flourishing family of God for the glory of God. So how do you get there? If the goal is joy, flourishing church, how do you get there? You get there with a deeper love. That's the river that flows, the river of the Spirit that flows to nourish you, the tree of God. When you talk about love, you need to understand it's not gushy, sentimental, superficial, saccharine love. He's talking about wise and rugged and forgiving and sacrificial and robust, costly love. You know, one of the best definitions of love I know is you're willing to be inconvenienced by someone else. Someone needs a ride to church. And you don't want to do it. You say, I'm not going to do it. But because you love, you're willing to be inconvenienced by someone else. I don't want to serve in Sunday school. Do you love? Are you willing to lay down your life for your brothers and sisters? Do you love? Paul gets kind of bold. And he says in Philippians 4, verse 2, he says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke that will help these women who contended at my side in the work of the gospel. Do churches go through conflicts? Churches go through hard times? Yeah. What's the solution? Wise, discerning, tactful, diplomatic, love. Covenant love. The love that Jesus showed us on the cross. And the love, Romans 5:5, that He's now poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Paul speaks about love a lot. Ephesians 3 is one passage. I pray that you, being rooted, it's kind of a tree language, rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses understanding. You say, well, I don't like that person very much. Love them anyway. Well, they're just not the same color as me. Well, they're not Dutch Christian Reformed. St. Francis of Assisi grew up in an upper class culture. But Jesus Christ got a hold of him and broke his heart. And he said he never, ever really experienced the love of Jesus Christ until one day he was faced with a leper. And St. Francis of Assisi embraced him and kissed him. And suddenly he realized, experience the love of Christ, that God would reach out to someone like him, cantankerous, obnoxious. He was the leper who needed the love of Christ. And Jesus reached out to kiss him. There's some powerful words, potent words in 1 John 4:19 and 20. Anyone who does not love his brother whom he can see, how can he say he loves God whom he cannot see? So then, is there any one human being on this planet? One leper? One difficult, cantankerous person you could not love and serve? And if you won't forgive, love, and serve someone you feel is an enemy, are you sure you've really received the love of Christ? It's not all that complicated. Philippians is all about joy, the flourishing of the Church of Jesus Christ, and the flourishing of your life. That's the end. The end of our existence is to flourish for God's glory and our joy. And the way to flourish as a human being is to labor at the work of causing others to flourish, to roll up your sleeves and do the work of love. Spend your life for others, and you will flourish. You will bear fruit. You will experience maximum joy. Crossroads, I have felt your love for 8.5 years. And I love you. And I am confident that he who began a good work among you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love the church so much that you gave yourself up for her. You love this flock. Pray for those in our flock that are going through very difficult times. We pray, Lord, for Jacob York as he suffers. as he nears death's door. We pray for LaVon as her cancer levels have risen. Lord God, you have extended her life. Please heal her. And as Paul undergoes surgery this week, we pray, Lord, that you would heal and restore him. Thank you that Linda May could be here this morning and Dale Borsma continue your healing work in their lives. And Lord, I pray for this fine church with elders and deacons, excellent leaders who have loved me and challenged me and been with me. Use them, Lord, to shepherd this flock. We pray for the church renewal team. Lord, that you would work mightily in this congregation and give it a fresh beginning and a new start. And bless the Sunday school teachers. Bless the youth leaders and bless the committees in this flock. Pray, Lord, that like a mighty army, the Church of Jesus Christ might move forward. Help them to sort out before your face and identify what this congregation is all about. Where there is brokenness, bring healing. Love this flock. And then when the time is right, bring a wise leader, compassionate pastor, and an expositor of Holy Scripture to lead this flock again. And Lord, I thank you that you will meet this flock's needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sorry, the praise team, we just have a little bit we got to do right now. Is that okay with you guys?
Could I invite you to just stand here with me a moment? On behalf of the council and congregation, just want to share a few thoughts and pray for Pastor Jim and Winnie. We love you too. And I'm sure there have been moments and times where it was difficult to feel that love. But deep down, I think we can all say we love you and we wish you well in the future. I want to share these thoughts from God's Word as being people of the Word, both you and us. And my heart and my thoughts landed on this text from 2 Thessalonians 13 through 17. But we ought always to thank God for you, brother and sister, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to be this through our gospel so that you might share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like you were speaking. So then, brother and sister, stand firm and hold to the teachings. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. We know, without a doubt, no one can deny that you came here with a fire in your heart for God's word and for his truth. And you have stood firm in that. And Winnie, you know, my wife and I have only been here 4 years, so I don't know all that you've been involved in. But I know you were heavily involved in children and worship I think you have been most of the years involved in Coffee Break in some fashion. So the word is your heart too, and you want to share that. But like us all, we have those struggles in our lives and those down times. And so the encouragement, stand firm. Because we know that is your heart and life, and you want to live for the glory of God all your days. And so we pray for that as you go. So I just felt that these words really captured your heart and life. You have set an amazing example to us in many ways, more than I can describe, and each one here can discern in your own heart, you know, what that is. You have planted seeds, and planting seeds is a very, very great work of faith. Some God was pleased to let you see the fruit or the sprouting of those seeds. Others not, and others are still have yet to sprout. But God is faithful, and His power will be at work, much like your text this morning was saying. It will carry it on to completion. I'm going to invite council members, those who are available, if you would please, to come and join me here. And we'd like to lay hands on Pastor Jim and Winnie and pray for them. So if you would come up at this time. And again, I'll share a brief prayer before the potluck as well. But we just want to bless them this morning together as a congregation.
Could I ask if anybody who wants to come right up? We just really appreciate it. I have to be an elder deacon.
So all together in our hearts, let us just join in this prayer. We thank you, O God, for your gracious work in and among us, and knowing that individually and all together, that as you began a good work in us, you will carry it on to completion in our lives and the lives of Pastor Jim and Winnie. We thank you, Lord, we thank you for the gift of their lives and service to us. We thank you for their dedication and commitment to service here, for their passion for you and for us. We thank you for their examples of faith in so many ways. We thank you for the lives that have been changed because of their ministry and presence among us, for the ways that we have been drawn closer to you because of them. We thank you, O Lord, for those many seeds that have been planted. Lord, cause those seeds to grow and flourish. We thank you for the ones that have sprouted and are growing, and we pray for the sprouting and growing of other seeds. O Lord, we thank you for the messages and teachings that Pastor Jim brought to us, both words of inspiration, but also words of challenge, words that perhaps made us squirm in our seats a little bit. But your word is true. And your word is what brings conviction by your Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you will build them up for their life and task ahead, for the new calling which you have provided for them. Help them, O Lord, to believe in your purposes for them. We ask, Lord, that you would smooth out the way before them, as they nor any of us can know exactly what the path has in store for us. But smooth that path out for them, especially in the transition to a new congregation. And strengthen them for their life and ministry. Help them always to depend on your word and surrender to your leading and guiding in their lives. Lord God, protect them. Protect them in their moving and in their traveling, their coming and going. May your powerful arms and presence be around them and go before them and behind them. And prosper their life and ministry according to your will. Help them to feel that they too can and will flourish. And so we pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.